You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. We are here with Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, one of the most important people in the country right now, in my opinion, certainly in Texas, because he and his team are doing incredible work. They are doing border operations, Operation Millstone, which is partnering with the world's leading child rescue teams to bring trafficked children home, and also really fast. This has just exploded their ministry, the amount of, outreach that they're able to do and the amount of support that they are receiving is incredibly well deserved. Now, I don't know anyone else who has as much intel on what is happening at the border, apart from Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, maybe my good friend Michael Yon as well. So these two people are someone that I think every single media outlet in the world should be listening to. Right before the break, he was explaining to us the seven stages of unconventional warfare, and we were interrupted by the break. So please do go on with what you were saying before.
Yeah. And I'd like to add something too. Todd Bensman is another one to look at in Center for Immigration Studies, a good friend both of Michael and myself. So he's really the guy that provides us the backside white papers and information. He's on the ground as well. So I put a shout out to him too, because it's part of this team, not with our team, but as friends. Understand that the information that we gave, and I'm going to go back to the phases. The information that we gave is the leadership. It is the upper level down to the mid-level leadership of the TDA in the United States. These are very particular documents that have the information on, and it's as good as, like I said, right around December of last year. But a lot of these guys are still on there. There's a guy on there right now with a $5 million reward on his head from the Department of State. So now, if those guys are running these operations, who are we going to use? We're going to use the guys, the nugs on the ground, the thugs. They've got nothing to lose. So they're sending them out there, and they're going into, during this phase five buildup, phase six employment phases. That's the next before total chaos ensues, which is phase seven. When we see these guys out there conducting operations in the employment, what they're doing right now, and as far as all these different stories I have in front of me here, the Permian Basin, the hotels in El Paso, we saw Aurora, Colorado. We know what's going on in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with regard to apartment complexes as well. These things are probing attacks. Remember that recently, and you may not have seen this, but recently down in San Antonio area, there was an exchange of gunfire at one of the military bases there. It was only for a few minutes. There was only a couple gentlemen that were involved, but they were Venezuelan actors. We don't know that they're TDA involved, but we have to sort that out. So when I'm doing a probing attack, I'm testing your resolve. I'm testing your response times. I'm testing all the things that are required, especially in the Permian Basin with regard to critical infrastructure, especially with military bases with regard to Department of Defense activities. To see what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? So you suddenly these local low-level thugs, and in this build-ups all the way to employment phase, what's happened is in the Permian Basin, the oil region of Texas, they're driving in there with trucks and stealing diesel fuel, stealing crude oil, stealing copper wire. These are low-level thug things, but we have to ask ourselves, who else is involved? And who else is involved is the CCP actors. So the Chinese Communist Party already has what we believe, and it's been argued between 50,000 and 130,000 actors inside of this country, of which two I've investigated personally on train derailments, one in East Palestine and then another one in North Carolina, which was attributed to CCP type activity. It's unfortunate that the feds lost those individuals and can't find them, but the local level did have hands on them until they disappeared. So when we see all these things, we have to ask ourselves, who's interested in the critical infrastructure? Who's interested in the bases? And we know that CCP has been purchasing properties next to, adjacent to a lot of these military bases with regard to the Strategic Airlift Command and things like that up in the Dakotas and then in the flyover states. And so even in Texas, there's an Air Force base down there by Del Rio where a large Chinese corporation owns a lot of land where they're putting those wind towers in. And so we watch that as well, because what we're trying to ferret out is, are there connections between TDA and them? And that's something that we're working on and can't comment on at this time. But just know, I'm putting this in your head for a reason, because law enforcement is doing their job, but we're going to make sure we stay ahead of them in the sense of left a bang. We want to get there before the IED. We don't want a reactionary approach to this. So that's what we're doing. Phase seven, that's just transition. Phase seven means we're either in total land warfare or we've stopped the action, one or the other. And we're right there.
Well, I'd rather see the latter. Something that struck me as just unbelievable was Savannah Hernandez actually went to that that apartment block in Aurora, Colorado, showing the bullet holes, showing cars without bumpers, no number plates. It's just absolute chaos. But then she was met with some people who were apparently saying, oh, no, we're fine. There's no problems with gangs here. And then protests proceeded from that interaction. I just, team, if we can air the clip of Savannah Hernandez, probably not the whole clip. I'll let you know when to stop. But just watch this first minute or so.
Okay, so I just found out something very interesting about the East Colfax Community Collective, that group that put on the migrant protest yesterday, the one that was trying to change the narrative and say that Trendera Agua is not overrunning that apartment complex that everyone's at and that everyone's been reporting fake news. Yeah, that organization, I found out, is funded in large part by the city of Denver and the city of Aurora. Yes, the same city, the same government officials that have been trying to cover up this story and trying to downplay their migrant crisis. I found out that the organization yesterday that wrote out all of those signs in English for the migrants and told them, hey, if you don't want to get evicted, you have to talk about not Trendera Agua being in the area, but instead the slum lords. Let's talk about that instead. That organization is funded by the city. Very interesting. Now, I'm also on the ground with Frontline's reporter Jonathan Cho. He went last night and he spoke to a different migrant who lives in this apartment complex that wasn't a part of that protest yesterday. And this man was so frantic trying to pack because he shares that migrants have been getting extorted, that he specifically has been getting extorted, and that, quote, Mexicans have been going door to door and asking people for money on top of the rent they're already paying. So
So apart from the absolute exploitation of these people, the forced labor of children, the absolute humanitarian crisis that is going on, where we are being told in the media that this is somehow, you know, this is for humanitarian efforts, that we're letting all of these violent savages into the country. Apart from all of that, you also have the city allegedly involved in staging protests to pretend to cover up this crime of these violent people taking over the locals there.
You know, that's a great point. And as let's just put this on top of the hotel in El Paso, which was just reported today, actually tweeted out also by Elon today. And so El Paso has a situation with a hotel, a specific one. The last 2 years, it's received 700 calls for law enforcement. And the city of El Paso is not coming down on the TDA. They're coming down on the owners of the hotel, right? So it's the same technique. It's go after them. Now, they're not calling them slumlords, but they're basically saying, hey, these are, you know, squatters. They're coming in. There's nothing we can do. El Paso is a very, they call it a progressive city. It was also called by Kamala Harris. The only city that she went to when she was border czar, the only one, was El Paso, when there was no problem in El Paso. And she went down there with Nancy Pelosi, and they used the terms, this will be the next Ellis Island of the border. This will be the Ellis Island of the border island. And so El Paso is now, we're seeing overflowing with the illegal trafficking there as well. So we can't get inside there. I can't do anything inside of El Paso with our guys. I mean, we're in a non-permissive environment with regard to working with law enforcement or anybody for that matter that will be to listen to us. The rest of the counties that we deal with, completely, very much open to the information that we give them and any kind of advice. I speak to emergency operation centers and those things and do classes and teach and prepare them for what is to come. We don't know what's to come, but I have to still look at everything from a most likely course of action to most dangerous course of action spectrum. And we want to be prepared for the most dangerous and pray for the most likely.
Absolutely. Team, if you can bring up the injunction, the Gateway Hotel injunction. So for a little bit of background of what Lieutenant Colonel Chambers was just discussing, Gateway Hotel is facing legal action over the alleged Trendaragua activity with violations. So what's happened is that there's been an injunction issued on the hotel. And right. This is, of course, because for the last 2 years, as you said, there have been close to 700 calls made for police to investigate the hotel. This is actually the one that I was talking about where you've got people wielding, you know, machetes or whatnot, hatchets, mm-hmm. Partying on the third floor, some with guns drawn, so on and so forth. Well, yes, men holding knives, hatchets, assaulting people with hatchets. You can see some of that footage from the hotel. This is just daily life. And instead of the also suspected prostitution, I should add, but instead of the government doing what they're supposed to, which is taking control of this situation, although I don't know, maybe you can let me know whether this is beyond control now, you know, rather than that, they're taking action against the hotel itself. And so this is a serious problem. And when you mentioned before that you provided 230 or was it 280 pages?
There's 230 pages. Yes, ma'am.
230. Okay. Pages of documents. What is in there and how does this help, you know, all the various officials at all levels and what should have been done by now?
What is in there is the names, the locations at the time, last knowns would be their ID numbers. It has biometrics, things that would be required in order to find somebody. This is a network. This is basically a network that has been created over time, and we were able to come into possession of it. And it was, like I said, pretty accurate as of December. And then when we handed it over to them in February, we added a few more documents that came in. We're still receiving information from people. This is open source reporting, as much like a journalist or a correspondent would do, just relationships on the ground, people telling us things and then giving us things. Now, this is the Army North document that you're looking at now, and it talks about some of the things that we would look at with regard to the I'm going to just say the thugs on the ground. But the ones that come in suits, you're not going to be able to identify them at all. They're smooth talkers. They're the ones that are leadership. Those are the ones in those documents that we've got. And so we're able to identify them. So there are law enforcement agents that are working on these things, officials that are working on these things. But sometimes when you hand it to them and they just kind of look at you like, oh, yeah, we'll get to this whenever. Those of us that know what war looks like and know what infiltration looks like, we're trying to tell them, look, this is coming. This is coming. You need to start listening to us. And perhaps they will. But many of them don't. Because it's just too easy just to respond to things. And they might get a little rest here and there, but that's not going to stop this type of activity because they are emboldened. While we are watching these armed illegal alien gangs posing threats to critical energy infrastructure, which is what I'm talking about, that's a larger target set. The nation is sleepwalking in a disaster, as far as I'm concerned. They're sleepwalking right into it.
So one of the potential uses of these people, because we've just witnessed from Savannah Hernandez evidence that there is potentially, you know, support from the city for these gangs, for these groups. And so, you know, we're witnessing I can't find the word that I'm looking for, the enabling mm-hmm. of these groups to continue, which means that perhaps there are people in power, and I dare say there would be, that are actually preparing on utilizing these people for some of the things that you're talking about. Alex, just in I can't remember whether it was the last hour or the hour before, was talking about, you know, MAGA Republicans are going to attack critical infrastructure. Okay, well, we know that we have these guys, TDA, going in and actually doing something with critical infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be MAGA Republicans. But the fact that the media is setting that up means they may know something's coming. So where could this lead, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers?
Right. So you just got that document you just showed just now. It corroborates the 17 August 24 0200 hours individuals firing rounds. These are probing yes. attacks that I was talking about. And so where does this lead? This leads to a false flag. This is the potential for a false flag. It would be something that has been done over and over and over again, is to commit the crime and then blame the crime on somebody else. But those individuals in their positions of authority have an oath of office, and there is a constitution. We have declared an emergency at the border, the governor did, and into the constitution of both the state and federal constitution. You're in violation of that. And if you took an oath for that, that's now called treason, which if it's done intentionally, could be argued in court and it would be punishable by death in a time of war. So these are very serious allegations, but these are very serious times. And so we need to make sure that that those people understand that they are aiding and abetting an enemy force. And this is an enemy force. They may not be armed like we think, you know, the typical uniform coming into the country with a flag on your shoulder. But this is unconventional warfare 101. There's no doubt. No doubt.
I want to be clear as well, and maybe you can elaborate on this, that it's not just TDA that we have to be concerned about here. No. This is just one that's particularly come to light recently because they're now taking over people's residential buildings. Right. So talk to us about some of the other gangs. I understand these guys are very dangerous, but right. some of the other gangs and what their focus has been.
Well, you know, some of the other gangs have kind of corroborated together in this whole scheme for, you know, the fentanyl thing. Definitely they make a lot of money, but the human trafficking is where they can sell someone over and over and over again. So this whole market that's come across the border, these rat lines, as we call them, these infiltration routes are now being taken over by the human trafficking people. And also in the chaos, this is chaos, when you see the border, you know, if you came on the border one night with me and watched 1,000 people cross at one point at night, and then you knew that a mile or up or down the river, they were coming across with guns, or they were coming across with humans that were going to be trafficked in a different sort of way, you would see that this is a game of cat and mouse, right? And that was really on the small scale when we were down there. Now, in this time, it's out of control. The numbers make it impossible. Looking for a needle in a stack of needles. So then I can bring in those bad actors. I can also come up the waterways. That's something else that hasn't been looked at. Nobody looks at barges and what comes in those connexes in those barges. Very few of those are investigated or looked at. The Mississippi River that comes in and feeds into the Tennessee River and some of these other rivers, the Illinois and all these other rivers that come up the center part of the country. Those barges carry huge, huge platforms of connexes, which can carry weapons. We've got to start looking at that stuff, because if I then arm these people that are in the country, and when you ask which gangs, which organizations, we're looking at everything from the Yemeni types, you know, the jihadist types down in the Middle East that have come in. 150 countries that have come across this border are being documented. Then you see the MS-13. They've been in this country for a long time. You see the CDN and CNJG, the new generation and the Nuevo generation. Those are right there on the border, but they're well ensconced way up on the egress and ingress highways. So it'd be Highway 35 coming up the center of the country, Highway 40 going east and west. All along the way there, they have depots. They have places where they are strongly entrenched into the cities, to be like places like Oklahoma City or in Arkansas is completely on Highway 40, completely owned by those different gangs. But they've been here for a while, so they're not really looking at them anymore. Those guys have their systems and they've been running it. The ones that I worry about for me are the CCP actors, because those guys are in it for the long game and they're going to stay undercover for a long time until these probing attacks by these thugs are done, and they're going to watch and they're going to see and they're going to measure 3-4 times before they launch any sort of build up into then a phase 7 attack. And that's just the way that's done, because they have to ensure that they have the follow on attacks to come. So this would look like, let's say, for example, hitting a critical infrastructure, knocking out a power grid, and then in the chaos, then allowing something like that to come across either the border or from the northern border as well, which few people don't realize. The Chinese national, the CCP trains in Canada. They train up there. So you have trucks on the ground that are already, you know, I don't know how many, I don't have the intelligence on that, but I know that they're training up there. They have operations they do together with the Canadian Army. So that being said, I would be looking for that as well. And that is something we do pay attention to.
It is absolutely clear that there is an all-out assault on the United States that should be clear to everyone everywhere in the world, and even more so the people of this world, of this nation. Right. Now is such a critical time for the U.S., and I don't think that people can wait until it hits their towns. And I know that you certainly didn't wait until it hit people's towns. You've given this to officials in February. Mm-hmm. So I want to know what are we hoping to achieve here? Because I suppose we have a lot of information that could be made public if there is inaction. Am I right in my assumption?
Absolutely. Maria, you're absolutely right. This will be made public because what I do is what we do, and it's not just us, not just our team, this alliance of teams across the nation, is we kind of have to sometimes force the hand a little bit of the ones that might be sitting on it, because if they don't do something, it's kind of like lead, follower, get out of the way. If you're not going to do it, then we find somebody that will do it. All right. We can't take it to the Department of Justice. What are they going to do? What have they proven to us? Nothing in this regard. This is what they should be doing. It's coming across international lines. They've not touched any of this. When I deal with FBI people, when I was in uniform, their addition to things was very minimal. They were worried about white extremism or the people providing us sandwiches
Facebook
on the border.
Or someone's Facebook post being offensive. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It was never a help. So for us, it's making sure that we get the information to the right ones. It will come very quickly now that this information will come out, and that way every person can be out there on alert and see these individuals. Hey, why not? You know, go after the guy that's got the $5 million reward on his head and roll him up. If you're a law enforcement agency, you could use the money. We need your help. That's what we're trying to say here. We tried the normal channels. It didn't go fast enough. We're watching their increase, right? It's exponential, just TDA alone. But the other stuff that's in the shadows is what really concerns me. Because that stuff is loud and it's in your face and it's in the media, but I never fall for that trick. I don't. I never have. The one time I did in 2004, my truck was blown up by an ID. I've learned since then to pay attention to the periphery and not get suckered into something that will blow you up.
That's such a good point. We're almost out of time today, but team, if you can bring up the Remnant Ministry, tx.org, up on screen, scroll down a little bit. Doc, if you can just spend the next minute or so talking about your
Sure.
missions further on down the page, the border operations, the Operation Millstone.
Yeah. So these things grew out of just, a bunch of guys going to the border. It was just me and that dog right there and my horse originally. And then we found this think tank, which is Colonel Phil Waldron is this is his place. He's been out there a lot working on a lot of the election integrity stuff, but he's given us a home to operate out of. And what we do is border operations is mostly humanitarian, but it's also teaching ranchers how to protect themselves, not to get in a gunfight, how to avoid, to create denied territory. Operation Millstone, this is our find and fix portion where we assist those that are actually at the tip of the spear, grabbing these children and bringing them out. And then the ministry, look, we are a ministry. We're advancing the kingdom of God. We are doing community service, and the ministry equals service. And that's what that word means. So we are servants in the service of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we believe that. And we pray that we don't have to put on our body armor and weapons again. But should it be required, Operation Nehemiah, we also have that one going on. That's where Nehemiah built a wall with a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other.
Well, I just want to encourage anyone who can support. Again, that website is the Remnant Ministry, tx.org. You can also follow Lieutenant Colonel Chambers on X, Doc Pete Chambers, at Doc Pete Chambers. Really appreciate your time today. For the people that aren't able to get out there physically, please support the people who can, because what this entire discussion has been is the pressure that needs to be applied to these officials that have the information that's been gathered by units like DOCS, and we can absolutely not reach the catastrophic stage 7, but stop it dead in its tracks. I want to encourage everyone to continue supporting InfoWars and tune in tonight for live coverage of the debate. There's just so much that's important going on, but we're really, really grateful for you, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers. God bless you.
Thank you for what you're doing, Maria, as well. God bless you.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.